This evening our lesson comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. If you have your Bible turned there, we'll read that text here in just a minute as we get started on this lesson that I think is probably on one of the most important subjects that we could ever study. The lesson is based in two parables, two of the shortest parables that Jesus told, and yet they occupy a subject that is tremendously important. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. As I said, these two parables that Jesus taught on the same basic subject matter, among some of the briefest of all that he used, and yet they come from a very real part of life, at least in that day, and perfectly illustrated the point that Jesus was getting across. The first parable has to do with a man who accidentally discovered something very wonderful, great treasure. Jesus doesn't tell us what the man was doing in the field when he discovered this treasure. Perhaps he was a peasant farming or plowing that ground for a landowner, or perhaps he was just passing through and the elements had caused that treasure in whatever form it was to become uncovered, or a part of it was visible and he was able to see it. We don't really know very much detail about that. We do know that in that part of the world, it was not uncommon for people to bury things of very great value because of the fact that there was frequent conflict in that area. Often people would flee from their homes or their areas and would bury something of great value, intending to come back later. Perhaps they perished and the location of that buried treasure died with them. Perhaps they moved on to other things and never had the opportunity to come back. We just really don't know. It is said that the wealthy in that day would sometimes divide their fortunes into three parts. The first part was divided into cash, and was kept as liquid cash used for commerce and daily existence. The second part of their wealth was put into jewels, so that if it became necessary to flee, they could be carried away with them easily. And the third portion of their wealth was buried in a secret place somewhere. Not sure if that really applies here in this text, but these are all possibilities that could explain, give the answer to that question that everybody always wants to know. Well, how did that treasure come to be buried? That sounds like a fascinating story. The second parable involved the finding of something, though, after a very thorough and diligent search. This second parable is about a man whom Jesus identifies as a merchant. The term merchant indicates a man who was in the business of looking for things to purchase so that he could in turn sell those things to retailers, vendors. A man such as this would be looking for things of extraordinary value, and when he found that something of good value, he would always purchase it because he knew someone who would be looking for that particular thing. He found this pearl of great price, And Jesus says when he found it, he liquidated his holdings. He sold all that he had and bought this pearl. There are several important lessons that I want us to see from these two little parables. But in the outset, I'd like for us to examine a couple of things about the matter of treasure or great valuable things. The first is that, contrary to what some well-meaning folks may try to tell us, there are many things in life, physical things, that should be treasured and appreciated. I do not believe that God wills for us to exist on this earth in abject poverty all the days of our lives without any kind of earthly enjoyment, no satisfying earthly experiences. God's blessings in our lives are an illustration of His love for us. And as we talked about this morning and last Sunday, God, I believe, gives us things to enjoy. With these earthly blessings come great responsibility. And we will answer as stewards of God's wonderful household. A second thing I think that is very important as we contemplate treasure is the fact that while earthly treasures are not inherently wrong in themselves, they are of limited benefit. They should never become so important to us that they compose everything or the whole reason for our existence. It ought to always be remembered that they are earthly and not heavenly. Therefore, they are limited in their duration. We need to remember that earthly treasure, as Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 6, is susceptible to earthly threats. Moth, rust, and thieves. Heavenly treasures, on the other hand, fade not away. Earthly treasures are limited in their effectiveness. While they sometimes have a way of promising unlimited satisfaction, the real truth is that earthly treasures can really effectively give no lasting fulfillment. They are but for a time, but for a short duration. Now, with those things in mind, let's look at three or four lessons very quickly that we can learn from these two parables. First of all, we learn from these two parables that the kingdom of heaven is of great value. We know from what Jesus taught in other places that the kingdom and the church are one and the same. In fact, in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there are some who are standing here who will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Both the discovered treasure and the sought-after pearl are illustrations of the tremendous worth and value of the church. The treasure illustrates tremendous value because of the desirability that's implied in the very name treasure. As we find the word treasure in the text, it is a word in the original language which was often translated wealth. Today, even, we think of treasure and wealth as being synonymous, and if you could find some great treasure, you just automatically assume that it's going to bring great riches and wealth to your life. It's also fitting that the pearl should illustrate the church because the pearl is the only gem that cannot be improved upon by man. Jewels have to be cut and polished by a skilled craftsman in order to give them their true value, but a pearl, when it's found, is perfect in its found state. The kingdom of God, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is a divine institution, and as such, it has been perfected by the Lord Himself from the very beginning. any effort on the part of mankind to improve it or make it better or change it in some way with the idea of making it a finer thing will only destroy its real value. The second thing that I think is important in these two lessons is that the kingdom requires great sacrifice. To put it another way, we could say from these two parables that the kingdom of heaven is worth whatever it takes to get into it. In both of these parables, these men who found the items of great value went, Jesus said, and sold all that they had in order to obtain these treasures. This does not imply that we are to buy or purchase our salvation, but that it's worth giving up anything that stands in the way of obtaining it and keeping it. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 and 58, Jesus was approached by a person who expressed a desire to follow him. The text says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. The kingdom of God is not a something for nothing deal. And as Jesus implies in what he says there in Luke chapter 9, it will require sacrifice. It will require giving up some things. It will require putting aside the things that those of the world consider to be even sometimes the basic necessities in order to be a part of the kingdom. Though salvation is bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's only available to those who are willing to give up everything that would ever compete with it in their lives. The kingdom requires sacrifice. Number three, these parables teach us that the kingdom is a source of great joy. Jesus says that the man who found the treasure hidden in the field, in his joy, goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. From joy over it, he says. Obviously, the source of joy is the great value of that which is being obtained. I'm not so sure we see the church in that light. How valuable do we see the church? Do we see it as something of tremendous value that we are wonderfully privileged to be a part of, or do we see it rather as an obligation that we've been saddled with and responsibilities that we've allowed to turn into drudgery? It certainly is important enough for us to examine our motives and our thought process as we seek to please God. There's a story about a couple of wealthy Christian businessmen who were traveling with a group visiting some mission work in Korea. As they journeyed along a road, they saw a field in which a young boy was pulling a crude plow. And a very old man was holding on to the handles of the plow, guiding it while that young boy was pulling it. One of the visitors was amused by the scene and took several pictures, and he turned to the missionary who was serving as their guide at that time. He said, "That's a curious picture. I assume they're very poor." The missionary said, "Yes, they are. But when the church building was being built for the congregation here, they were eager to give something for it, but they had no money. So they sold their only ox and gave the money to help build the church building." The men were silent for a few minutes, and finally one of them said, "That must have been a great sacrifice." The missionary said, "Yes, but they don't call it that. They thought themselves very fortunate that they had an ox that they could sell in order to help." How much value do we place on the kingdom? Or have we become so soft and satisfied that we've allowed our minds to drift away from the tremendous value and the joy that comes from that value of the kingdom of heaven? The fourth thing, and this will be the last on the list, the kingdom can be found in different ways. Be careful. Hear me out. Understand what I'm about to say. I'm not saying that different people do different things to get into the kingdom. I'm not saying that God requires one thing of some people and something different from others in order to get into the kingdom. The church does not have varying terms of membership. That's not the point at all. But you'll notice the basic difference between these two men in the parables before they bought the hidden treasures, the treasured articles. In the parable of the hidden treasure, the man stumbles upon it quite by accident. He's not out treasure hunting. While he finds it entirely by accident, he's wise enough to recognize it for what it is, something tremendously valuable, and therefore he's willing to do whatever he needs to do in order to obtain it. Some people find the church without seeking it. Some people literally stumble upon the truth. Saul of Tarsus was not looking for the kingdom of God on the road to Damascus. He thought he was already in the kingdom of God. He believed that Christians were wrong. But when he found the kingdom through that encounter with Jesus Christ, he was wise enough to ask, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" In the parable of the pearl of great price, the merchant was actively looking for the worthy merchandise. He was seeking it. He was chasing it, as we say. He knew that there was something out there. He knew that it was very desirable and beneficial for him, and therefore he was actively looking for it. There will always be those who are actively searching for the truth, and we need to make sure we help them. The Ethiopian eunuch is a good illustration of one who was diligently searching for the truth when he discovered Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53. With Philip's help, the teaching and the encouragement that he gave, the eunuch was able to obtain the whole pearl of truth, and Philip assisted him in his baptism. So the important thing is not how we find the kingdom. It doesn't matter if we're actively searching for it or if we've just stumbled upon it. The important thing is that we recognize its value, that we see it for the truth that it is, and that we obtain it for ourselves, no matter what it takes. Have you found the treasure? If so, are you willing to do whatever you need to do in order to obtain it? From these two very simple, very short parables, we see the tremendous value of the church, the kingdom of God. If you're not a child of God, the New Testament teaches clearly what you need to do in order to be saved. To believe in Jesus as God's Son, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Him as Lord, and to be baptized and have your sins washed away. If you've done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, need to be restored, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.